And welcome back to the second hour of It's a New Day here at 1180 AM WFYL. I'm Bruce Stocking.
I'm Corinne Lillis.
I'm Andrew Turner.
All right. Well, I was wondering where you guys were. And we are in our second hour of our program, and to lead things off, we're going to have an interview right now. And the interview is with Tom Lingenfelter. He's a political activist, and he's here to talk about elections, some of the corruption that goes on in the election process, and primarily we here talk a lot on the national level with the political theater and what's going on and with elections and so forth. But Tom's here to talk a little bit more about it on the local level, where the problems that we experience on the national level all begin somewhere, and they will begin at the local level and grow from there. And Tom, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
And for our listeners, Tom, if you could, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think the most important thing that a lot of people think about is I was a former counterintelligence agent, and they think I know everything. But because of it, a lot of people are suspicious of me, especially the political types. But running for office, I've run into a lot of problems, and I've had to go to court quite a few times because of the they don't want certain people to, they don't want anybody to run for office except their hand-picked people. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest problem we have in this whole country.
Now, who are they that you're referring to?
Pardon?
Who are they that you're referring to?
Well, a local, it could be a county party or a local election, whoever the party bosses are. They pick the candidates, and they conduct the elections, and they count the votes. Mm-hmm. And there's very seldom any competition.
Okay. Why is that? You're referring specifically to Pennsylvania?
I use Pennsylvania and Bucks County as an example, but it goes on throughout the country and the world. There's very seldom anybody to vote for, even though people like to think they're going to vote them out. They can't. There's nobody on the ballot. So by getting on the ballot, you give people a chance to vote, and that's not good for the parties.
No, that certainly has been an issue. In fact, some folks in this midterm gubernatorial election that we had just simply said they're not going to vote because they didn't like what was being offered to run.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who's offering it?
Well,
nobody asks the questions. You have to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Who, what, where, why, when, how. You know, as a counterintelligence officer or investigator, we have to. The whole thing is asking questions. You're not going to get answers unless you ask questions.
Mm-hmm. So,
and
Tom,
people don't.
Could you continue on maybe with your background a little bit? So you were a former counterintelligence agent, and then you kind of, I guess, did what sparked this interest in politics, and when did you start seeing corruption, and what have you kind of done here to
Well, pretty
to
much
change
I'm most mainly as a historian. I don't know if
okay.
you've read anything, but I've discovered the only true copy of the Declaration of Independence, the birth certificate of the Constitution, quite a few unique documents that were not known to exist before. But that's my business, too. I deal in the historic documents and manuscripts and authenticating and so forth. But it's like doing investigations every day. But I deal with the founding fathers like every day. I mean, I've had letters by Washington, Jefferson, Franklin, all of them. So a lot of times I feel like I'm on a personal basis with them because I read their personal letters, not their copies of, but the actual letters and documents that they wrote.
Now, Tom, for all of our listeners out there as well, to say you're just a historian I think might discredit you because you've got a lot of part of your master's in educational psychology, I'm reading, as well as, you know, we were saying political activist, business owner, historian, educator, as well as an athlete. So you're a well-rounded individual, and there's a lot that you have going on for you right now.
Well, I have had a lot going on, but it seems like the older I get, the more I have to do. But, no, I think one thing about politics, first of all, I'm a real patriot, for one thing. I was raised that way. I always wanted to be the good guy. And when I got into the Army, got into Army intelligence, and I just sort of always leaned that way. Whenever I see something wrong, this should be corrected. But, of course, that gets you in a lot of trouble. Unfortunately.
Well, that could be, you know, people call that trouble, but in a way, if you're going for the good and righteous and moral thing, that's good trouble.
Look, I hate to say this, but I'm aware of assassinations and all kinds of things that are done for political reasons. There are unsolved cases in this country that go back to 1940, Forrestal. He supposedly committed suicide. It wasn't a suicide. You know, it was an assassination because he was thinking about running for president. And he was opposed to a lot of things our country was doing.
Well, let's bring it back to what you were talking with the corruption and the problems we're having on a local level. Since this year there will be some local elections that will be taking place, and folks need to know a little bit more and maybe help out with the type of questions you need to ask for these candidates that are going in. For example, we do know with some of the county executives that you're on there that are like second generation of the previous person before them, still doing the work of that previous person under a different guise. But maybe some thoughts along that line as far as what people can do, question, ask, kind of force the issue.
Well, I think the most important thing they can do right now is don't wait until the primary to start getting noisy. Right now is a time to get together and try to put people on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking about it and not going to talk about it election until the time has passed to get on the ballot. So all of a sudden people say, I want to run. Oh, it's too late.
Right.
You have to have your petitions done and turned in probably by March.
Yeah.
You have to have a 3-week period. It's a real procedure. And it's not easy. So
could you go through some of that procedure with us? Because I know that's something that you're passionate about.
That's a whole, yeah, we could do 2 hours of program.
Right, I'm sure.
But that's what I mean. It's all very simple stuff, all put together to make it complex. So that nobody knows or understands what to do.
It's like the tax laws.
And if you do attempt it, then they have all kinds of rules and regulations which they can use and distort to throw you off the ballot. I've personally been thrown off the ballot 11 times.
Now, is that discretionary if they want to bring up some rules and regulations?
It works out that way.
Okay.
That's the reason I'm here this morning, to talk about a specific rule that was broken by the sheriff of Bucks County and how the commissioners, Board of Elections, refused to enforce the rule. They enforced it against other people and not him.
Well, let's get to that. Why don't you elaborate?
Okay. I have an example of a petition right here. You know, you got a lot of signatures. You have to get them. But this is a legal document. You have rules for everything, which they give you a copy of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your name and so forth, what your office you're running for. But there's one rule here that I'm a little concerned about today, which has been ridiculed, but it's worked. It throw people off the ballot with it or make them do their work over again. There's one rule here. It says, see if you can see the paper here. It says prior to circulation, rules.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay, so we'll make sure you know it's legitimate.
Yep.
Type or print the name of the candidate on the petition exactly as the candidate wants it to appear on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Given names must be used. Titles such as Dr., Mr. or Mrs., etc. are not permitted. This is the critical one in this particular instance. A nickname is allowed only if it is a derivative of the legal given name.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one because that also falls into the fact of any voting in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. If you're going to do a write-in vote, you got to make sure that it's spelled correctly right down to the middle name and everything, too. I do know that.
But that's only necessary if they're trying to throw you off the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore it otherwise.
Okay. Just to play devil's advocate.
This is for somebody running for office, right, and not the people that signed it, but the person running for office, because when he's out getting his signatures or someone's getting them, you have to use your legal name or a derivative of. In my case, when I run for office, I use Tom. Mm-hmm.
Thomas.
That's legal because it's a derivative of Thomas.
Mm.
So, but to get to the meat of the matter, the sheriff runs and he puts down Edward Duke in parentheses, Donnelly. He collected signatures under an illegal name. Mm-hmm. Duke is not a derivative of Edward or his last name. Now, if his name was Dukas or something like that, he could use it. But he collected his signatures under a false name.
Okay. And so did he go by Duke or he went by Edward?
He put Edward Duke Donnelly. Right away, As soon as you turn that petition in, if I would have turned that in and had Tom Duke Linkenfelder, I would have turned it in. They would have handed it back to me and said, you can't use this petition. You have to do it over again. Okay? And in his case, he turned it in on the last day with 1,000 signatures. All of them had the wrong name on it. We complained about it. They should have just handed it back to him, and he should have gotten new ones, which he wouldn't have been able to do because he waited too long. They have done this to people before. Sometimes if I put Tom Linkenfelder CPA, it would get thrown out just because you're not allowed to do that.
Let me ask you this. I'll take it for granted, and you'll probably jump in and correct me on this, that these type of rules here are laid out by the Commonwealth as far as going in and doing. In fact, we're going to take a break, and when we come back from that break, I'll ask the question again. We'll follow up in there. We're talking to Tom Linkenfelder. He's a political activist, and he's got a very extensive background to himself, things he's doing. But we're talking about corruption in the election process and names on the ballot and so forth. So when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Tom. So stick with us. All right, thanks for sticking with us through that break there. You're listening to It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL, and we're having an interview with Tom Linkenfelder. He is a political activist, and we've been dealing with the corruption that takes place in political elections, the fact that a lot of folks, when they go to a ballot, they don't see anybody on there to vote for, they don't know anything about it. And then there's some little bit of dancing that's going on as far as names that appear if a petition's going out and so forth. So we're getting into this conversation if you've been listening to us. And if you're just joining us, hopefully I brought you up to speed. And before the break, Tom, we were talking a little bit about, you were mentioning about a sheriff's race where an individual wasn't using the proper procedures and names that's going in as subscribed in the rules and regulations. And my question to you before the break was, is that since the Commonwealth lays out these regulations that are done for running for political office and go through, is if you find something like this, is this the first stop to go to? Because so many people want to run into court and sue. But is this the first stop to go to try to rectify, identify the problem with a state representative? Or what do you do here?
Well, unfortunately, that is the rule. The first thing you do is go to court. But for what we did, we pointed it out to the Board of Elections that it's not too late for them to withdraw his petitions because they are clearly illegal. Okay? Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. Nobody enforces that rule. If they don't do the rule, nothing happens automatically unless another candidate or a registered voter in the area files a lawsuit.
So we're talking a lack of accountability here.
I pointed out to the commissioners who were the Board of Elections on three occasions in a public meetings and asked them, at this point, will you please just take a vote? Are you going to enforce the rules or not? And they did not even answer me. The first time we did it, they said, well, our lawyer will get back to you tomorrow. This is a year and a half later, and we're in court.
Well, who are they accountable to?
Well, I guess you have to make them accountable. Now, you can report it to the district attorney or the attorney general, but then nothing happens. And that's been reported in this particular case, and they won't even talk to us.
Yeah, because, well, at least we know with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania doesn't do her job. And that's one of the big reasons that she's in the hot water that she's in right now. Fact is, if a crime is committed and it's brought to their attention on a legal matter through, if it's a county, the county prosecuting attorney and so forth, action has to be taken.
Oh, but it's just a little rule. It doesn't mean anything. Unless they want to kick you off the ballot, then it means everything. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's basically what you call it a political machine.
Tom, how dangerous is it to have a candidate be groomed for a position?
Dangerous?
Yeah.
To have BM groomed?
So, like, let's have somebody who you said, you know, local politics is directed by the people who run in the show. They pick who their candidate are, and then
these people are usually one or two or three people that run the party. They make the suggestion very strongly to everybody else in the party, this is who's going to be our candidate. Now, another thing they do a lot of in Bucks County, notoriously, somebody will run for an office, and he may have been in there 4 or 5 terms. He wants to retire. They suggest to him, run one more time. As soon as he wins, sometime during his term of office, he will then resign. Mm-hmm. And then they can appoint someone. You check the commissioners, judges, mm-hmm. and so forth over there. You'll find that a lot of them never got elected in the first place. They ran as incumbents after they were appointed by someone. Mm-hmm. And most people were appointed, you never heard of them before. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of examples, and it gets pretty nasty.
So that's what I meant by kind of like the grooming. You know, somebody is being, you know, set up for a position and things like that.
Oh,
how
absolutely.
Dangerous that can be for
this
local politics.
This is never done willy-nilly. This is planned in 3, 6 months, years in advance. And people understand how the system works, the ones that want to get elected. And they play the game because they know I'll take this job, I'll do that job, and then I'll be next in line to be a judge or commissioner or something.
And, Tom, this is one thing with this program, some of the other programs we do, where we can identify these problems and bring these problems to light, such as yours, that a lot of folks don't know about. Mm. And folks sit there, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening right now that are shaking their heads, rolling their eyes, and some going, well, that's typical for Pennsylvania. But what can the folks do?
Well, that right now, this time of year is the time you can do something, because you have elections coming up again every mm-hmm. year, spring and fall. Mm-hmm. And if you want somebody to vote for, you have to get somebody on the ballot.
Okay.
So to get someone on the ballot, you can go through the party and try to work it that way. Or you can just run for office yourself as a Republican or Democrat or independent. But talking as an independent or a third party, then you're really talking mass confusion. But in the next 6 weeks, you have to get your petition signed. And that's the only way you get on the ballot.
And
if you don't have them signed, you can't do anything.
So then, Tom, would you recommend if someone wanted to go on the ballot, they would contact their committee person and say, you know, or do you?
Well, you can try that. Hopefully they might like you or don't have anybody else to run, or they don't think it's important. Or maybe they think they can control you. Or maybe they don't think the office is important.
Wouldn't that be the primary purpose, though, of the committee person to represent their group of people and make sure that they—
better than that is become a committee person.
Right.
Do you know that? Now, I can just talk from Bucks County. I know it's true in most of the counties. For instance, the Republican Party has 600 openings, for committee spots.
Hmm.
Typically, half, 60% are actually filled. Mm-hmm. Now, this last year, they appointed a lot of people so they could win the vote. But even the Democratic Party, when I first got involved in the party, they only had, out of all the 600 committee spots, they only had maybe 30, 35% of them filled. Those are the people that run the party under the boss, party boss. Now, 30 people is a lot easier to control than 600. So mm-hmm. they actually have control. It actually boils down to the chairman in Pennsylvania, the party chairman has all the power, because he even appoints the over 50% of the executive committee, which when you have an executive committee meeting, take a vote, he wins.
Well, and also another thing I've noticed, and I know some folks that have become committee people, is that a lot of them put their name in there and ended up running for it unopposed because, one, people don't know what it is,
right,
where it is, and what it does, and they're like, yeah, that's nothing. And they don't know the importance of such a position. So then when you don't have it filled, of course, that party will then start mm-hmm. Stacking the deck in their favor and just appointing people in there. But would it be fair to say that people need to look into the committeeman positions and begin to look and to start this with the correcting the problem is to get involved with that and become one?
Absolutely. Now, if you look wherever Tea Party's had success in the country, the Tea Party took over the party first, and then they made a lot of noise. Unfortunately, here in southeast Pennsylvania, the Tea Party's made the noise. The party's moved in, co-opted most of the movement, and they don't have any committee people now.
Mm-hmm.
So the party took it over. But if you look at throughout the country, wherever there's been success by the opponents, it's because they got in and got some power in the party first.
Mm. So I think a good thing for our listeners to take away is local politics is extremely important. Would you argue maybe more important?
It's the ultimate important thing. Anything that happens in this country because of our system is under political control. The political control starts at the basis. You're going to have a presidential candidate next year. Who's going to pick the candidate? He has been picked already, okay? I mean, they're not going to tout it, but he's been picked already. They'll let everybody else join the dance. But when it gets right down to it, they will pick the candidate.
Hmm. Well, definitely something for all of us to think about, and hopefully our listeners heed your wise words, Tom. So thank you very much for coming in this morning and talking to us.
Okay.
I'm sure we'd love to have you back sometime. But
we just got started.
Right, exactly. As you said, we could take 2 hours to talk about voting law and everything
that.
Like that. So, so we're going to head to a commercial break, but we will be right back after this. So stay right there. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. Hopefully you're staying with us after our wonderful interview we just had here with Tom Linkenfelder. 34 minutes past the hour. We're going to get back into some news for now. So I will look to my co-hosts. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about in this segment?
I have nothing else to look at.
Well, you know, another case of wouldn't it be nice to be a fly on the wall? Now, of course,
there are seriously so many circumstances where I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, well, I
and certain circumstances where you wouldn't.
I would have liked
to have been a fly on the wall yesterday at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue when the Anointed One sat down with the GOP leadership of the Congress. I mean, we're talking that, of course, the leadership of the Congress now, you have John Boehner, Speaker of the House in the House of Representatives, and Mitch McConnell, who is the majority leader now in the United States Senate. Now, of course, the minority leaders were there, too. Unfortunately, you had to look at the likes of a Nancy Pelosi, and that's never a good thing, no matter what time of the day. Harry Reid couldn't do it because Harry Reid bashed himself up pretty bad, so I don't think Harry's going to come back. I really don't. I'd be surprised if he did. But anyhow, the president, he sat down with congressional leaders, and a quote, put this in quotations, a notion of bipartisanship. Yeah.
Keyword. Why can't we notion. All just get along?
Thank you, Rodney
Keyword.
King.
Notion.
Thank you. Yeah. And the talk over working together. You know, I talked yesterday, and I think I talked this maybe last Thursday, about, how he wants to work with the Congress now and the new leadership in the Congress.
But he's already planning on vetoing.
Yeah, a spirit of cooperation and putting America first,
okay, so
Obama
when
says.
Okay, let's think. When was an example of when both parties got along and we could work together to get good stuff
Let
done?
Let me give you an example.
Was this or any sort of recent time?
No. Well, in my time, I would consider it recent, but I don't think you guys were around. So when Ronald Reagan was president, Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House, Democrat. Professionally, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill did not see eye to eye. However, these were two individuals that after the workday was done would sit down and have dinner together and so forth. And they got things done. They got things done. There was not the divider-in-chief that we have now. And, of course, Obama, in his talking to the leaders and looking at areas of compromise on trade, tax reform, and I love this one because he's got to be Mr. Current, cybersecurity, because let's face it, CENTCOM had their Twitter account hacked by allegedly ISIS and so forth.
Yeah.
And so he's laying out all this nicety, and apparently by the various reports, it was a little bit cold in the room. And so he's going through all this nice stuff. So in other words, what Obama was conveying during this whole little kumbaya session was if you do things and present bills that I want, then we won't have a problem. And we can then all be progressive. That's the way I look at it.
I would read that part. If you just propose bills that I want.
Well, that's my kind of analysis of the thing.
You just do what I say.
Yeah.
Don't ask why.
And that's basically it. It's Obama's way or the highway, or he'll pull out that magic pen. You know, the magic writing, the whole writing executive order to get around Congress to violate the Constitution. And, of course, the Keystone Pipeline. We talked about this with your verse. Mm-hmm. And that, you're going to do that. I'm going to veto it. You don't even know what's in it. And the thing is with Keystone, Josh Earnest, his White House spokesperson, who has his press conference every day, said prior to Obama just coming out flat, he's going to veto it without even looking at it. You know, got to remember what Nancy said. You got to vote for the bill to find out what's in it. Well, he's going to veto it without even looking what's in it.
Yeah.
And then anything with immigration, and there's some big movements coming down the pike when it comes to the immigration itself, is that they're also going to be, they're presenting different bills and so forth that is going to deal with the immigration. There's another one out there that they're working on, GOP Senate pushing for bill to limit Gitmo transfers. And basically calling a timeout on that because Obama's been letting them out of there like mice out of a trap. And what are they doing? They're going right back to the battlefield. They're killing people again. They're going right to ISIS. They're going right back to Al-Qaeda. They're not going to go for that little home arrest thing in Yemen or anything like that. We know this. But Obama's mindset, if you do it my way, we'll do things fine. This is not an oligarchy. This is a republic. And this is something that Obama doesn't realize, is that he is the representative of we the people, as all those in Congress are. But with him. And it's not your way or the highway, sir. Your job is not to set an agenda for your pundits and for your marginal base. It's for the country and the people. And he talks the great line, but like any flim-flam man, he doesn't walk the walk. You know, I'm going to work with you guys. I'm going to work with you guys. What's that? Oh, they're going to send a bill. I'm vetoing it. You know? Mm. You know, do you like a movie or hate a movie before you see it?
You know? Yeah. So,
well, it depends on the trailers and who's in it. But
if he vetoes it, then what? Then, well, we talked about the maybe they could override the veto.
Now, there was a very good point with Keystone Pipeline that Laura Ingraham brought out yesterday, is the fact that, okay, fine, Keystone Pipeline's going to create jobs. Who are the workers?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that yesterday, too.
Are they going to be Americans that are out of work, or is it going to be the illegals? You know, come on, I'm done with the political correctness, the undocumented. The illegals that they're going to be putting in there, who's it going to be?
Mm.
Now, I guess if way Obama wants to give everybody illegal status amnesty from not being deported and charged and things like that, if they put in there, the only ones working for the Keystone Pipeline, if approved, will be illegal immigrants. Oh, he'd probably sign it right away. So is this a president of the people, by the people, for the people? Who is this president for? I know a lot of them out there answering right now. So this is some interesting stuff coming down. What do you guys think?
I would like to see them override the veto, but I'm not sure how likely that is. So I'm not trying to get my hopes up, but I think it should be passed. So,
well, there's two phases I look at with that. One, he vetoes it, overrides it, and it goes through for the good of the country gas-wise. Maybe, you know how they'd like to add earmarks on the bills? Maybe put an earmark on the bill that you have to be a United States tax-paying citizen to get a job on it. The second thing is he vetoes it and they do nothing. This veto sticks straight on him. And you know things will go south. The gas prices being down right now, that's a blessing. What goes down in this country goes up.
Everything has a ripple effect.
Yeah. So, like gas jumps up. He vetoed it. Well, it could have stayed down if he didn't veto the thing. It'll stick on the Teflon president, which Mosi doesn't take responsibility for anyhow.
But wasn't it Nancy Pelosi that said we will be okay with, we can afford the cushion or something?
Oh, no. That was putting increasing the federal tax on your gallon of gasoline that directly affects people that middle class, lower class, that have to go to work. Gas prices low, that means a little bit more in their pocket. Then you get these clowns going, well, you know, gas prices low, then the American people can absorb the increase. No, they can't. No, they can't, because everything else goes up. And let us not forget the Unaffordable Health Care Act that is really destroying people financially. There's nothing affordable about it. So any money you can save there can get you out of the doghouse when it comes to having taxation used on you for punitive measures, which, So you see, wherever you turn around, just as soon as you think you're going to get earn a dollar, the government sticks their hand in your pocket and claims they want to.
Well, the gentleman we just had in here, for those of you who weren't listening, is named Tom Linkenfelter. And he has a statement on his website that says, "I believe the unique and historic mandate of our constitutional government is to preserve, protect, and promote personal freedom and responsibility. Anything else or anything less is just bad government."
You know what I would say? I would add to that, to allow the ability for personal freedom and so forth. And that's what the Constitution does. It gives us the ability to say, to provide it.
Yeah, and this is another reason to keep up with the Constitution as far as knowing what it means. And like Gary Porter said at the seminar this weekend, you have to be able to defend it. You know, someone says, "Oh, this is unconstitutional." You can be like, "Well, actually, it's not, because it says right here, blah, blah, blah."
Right. And let's point out that in the Constitution, it says nothing about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That appears in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the government is there to protect our freedoms. Yes, indeed. Not to provide. Because, but by protecting our freedoms, we'll provide if they're going to provide anything, they provide the ability for someone to go after that goal of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You know, it's the old thing. It's up to you. Everybody's created equal at birth. What you do a minute after that, that changes the game.
With a grain of salt.
No,
not
it does.
Quite 1 minute after, but I know what you mean.
Well, yeah.
I know what you mean. Know what you meant for sure. Well, hey, listen, we've got to head to a commercial break, but we do have one segment coming up
for you. Yeah, we got some more news for you. So we're not going to do a We the People, but just catch up on some stories, because there was so much today. But there's a couple of things I want to make you aware of, and that's what we'll talk about.
We'll be right back. Stay right there. And welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. 48 minutes past the hour, and we have a little update on some presidential elections for 2016.
Oh, things are popping.
It's right around the corner.
Indeed, indeed it is. Let me see if I can find some regal music to play for this.
Yeah, regal
music. Get started for us, Bruce.
Yeah. How about, what is it, Marvin Gaye, "I Heard It Through the Grapevine."
There you go.
Might
as well be.
Yeah, Daily Caller came out with an article on this, and I saw it on the news as well. Of course, Teddy Cruz jumps up there, and Theodore's up there, and he's spouting something that we all can get behind, and I don't think there's a person in this entire country that can't get behind this. Of course, Ted Cruz is pushing for the abolishment of the IRS. Yes, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
but what are you going to replace it with?
Yeah.
Now,
so what,
give
is
you
he
a little,
saying anything?
Let me give you a little quick history here.
I mean, it's just downright irresponsible.
Well, no, it isn't irresponsible.
But to not have a plan in place for an
update?
Well,
this is one of the biggest problems you have with politicians. They will address the public with, "We got to abolish the IRS." Great. But
now
since
what?
That's been entrenched for a while, how are you going to replace it with what? Let me give you a quick background, a little history background. Is collecting income tax from you and I, from the fruits of our labors, never really was intended by the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment was to tax the income that would come in through ports and at the shops. They would pay that tax. Then, of course, they'll pass the savings along to the customer. In other words, if it's a $10 item, they got to pay $2 tax on it. They're going to sell it with a profit margin. They're going to sell it for $15. Let's just use that as a working little hypothesis.
So when did this start getting switched over to affecting our
wallet?
Yeah,
well, this gets to the point where the government, the greed and avarice of a government, and with the 17th Amendment that pops up shortly thereafter, the 16th was ratified, that removed the states from having a say by making the senatorial races. That, boom, game on. So they turned it, well, income, you get income, we're going to tax you. Now, prior to that, you know where all that income that was done, even before it was considered an income tax, and that you had at ports, you had customs offices that were collecting customs, very similar to duties in that you get at an airport. That would go directly to the Treasury. The IRS was created, shall we say, not really by the book, but as a collection agency that handled that for the Treasury Department. And now they've become a political weapon of the government. Mm-hmm. And have become the hack and the henchman for a political party that has a president that wants to use it for political measures. You know, we see this with Lois Lerner and the IRS. We see it with a number of things. Now IRS is collecting the tax, the penalty tax, if you don't have insurance. The IRS picks that up. So what happens there is that you, if you're going to get a return, you don't have health care. You may not get your return.
I had a radio spot the other day, and it was saying, most Americans don't know that if you don't have health insurance, you'll get penalized on your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, most Americans don't know that.
Yeah.
I think by now, everyone's kind of like, great.
Do you know how many employees that allegedly are working for the IRS, and it's growing now because they're doing this illegal tax collection using taxation for
12,000.
How about 110,000 employees.
Oh, wow.
That's an army. That's
job creation.
Wow.
That's an army of
Then we're going to lose 110,000 jobs.
Could you imagine you're sailing along a ship, and all of a sudden a pirate ship comes up, and there's 110,000 pirates on that ship, and they're all jumping over, and they want what you have in the hole?
I see
that
the
metaphor.
That
doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah, you like the way that's going? You could have played pirates for that one.
To pull it back to what we were talking about before with presidential candidates, Rand Paul is running for he's hired a campaign manager.
Yeah,
possibly making a dash at.
Yeah, what happened is that you have we have two dynasties right now that want to bide for the office. We're going to talk to Republican, and of course, on the progressive liberal side, we have Hillary, which we don't have it potted up, but I have a nice little thing of her saying how proud she is to be a progressive. But on the Republican side, Jeb Bush came in and announced, you know, and started making noise. Well, this has accelerated those jumping in. Do we have Hillary?
We do have
Hillary. Well, let's have Hillary.
I prefer the word progressive, which has a real American meaning, going back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 20th century. I consider myself a modern progressive.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Good one.
But that being for another day's discussion on the Democratic side, but on the Republican side, because Bush, he's got everybody else now. Scott Walker's really
these folks. You know, like, no, we're talking about Jeb.
Yeah, well, Jeb Bush, but Scott Walker now,
right,
who I like. I'm not going to endorse anything, but
yeah,
I like
Scott.
My thought is on the Republican end, they need a governor. We don't need a junior senator. We know what we get there.
I agree. Governor.
Because they have management.
Leadership role.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Mitt Romney is like a hair's breadth away from trying again.
Yeah. Well, he'd be a front runner. I think most people have him at the top of their polls.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go with the media who's going to be a front runner, who's not, because I'm not letting them make my mind for it. I'm going to take a look at it. Romney was there before. Yes, indeed. He's gathering together some of the folks that he had for the last campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good, bad? I don't know. A lot of folks think that Romney had the election stolen from him. There's some validity in some of that there. But you have, you know, Romney thinking about doing it now. You have, what's his name? Rubio. Rubio's given it a look. Chris Christie just the other day did his State of the State address and did it kind of in a presidential-style mode. Chris Christie, my opinion, doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, I'm not thinking it's looking too
He's an entertainment value. You know, but if he's pulling that, hey, shut up and sit down and listen to what I'm saying or you can leave type of thing, sure, that may appeal for a while, but is this what you're going to want? I'm going to let you decide.
He kept making waves because he was hanging out with Jerry Jones and his skybox at all the...
That's nothing. I mean, that right there, that's
right,
a throwaway.
Right, but then he came out and said that all Philadelphia sports fans are, you know, just the worst.
Well,
I think it was originally his brother who was reported, but then it somehow morphed into he said it. So,
well, you know, and then we have the Bridgegate thing that they tried to stick on him and they couldn't stick on
him.
Which
didn't. That wasn't.
But, you know, that type of stuff, and that's the type of stuff they're going to bring out that they want to highlight. I want to know, as a manager, as a governor, what has he done? What's his pluses versus what's his minuses? This is what we need to look at, folks. And with all these candidates out there, it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting out there. I do not subscribe.
When do the debates start?
Oh, in fact, we have to wait until about midsummer or mid-season here where they're going to really start. The hats are in the ring because all of them are standing there with their toes on the line. They just need to take that step.
Well, they do it like a year and a half in
yeah.
advance.
And they're all looking at, look at it this way. All those that want to run, they're all standing at that line. And you did track, did you not, Corinne?
Yes.
You're all there at that line.
I didn't know that.
And you're waiting for the gun to fire. And you all kind of look at one another. Just that quick glance to see who may be the first out of the gate.
Oh,
that's
what's important happening. First couple steps there. You're either going to end up sucked
exactly
in the back.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what we're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. And there's more walking up to the line as we go.
Right. So let's think Herman Cain.
Yeah, well, Herman Cain has values, and then we've ended up finding some problems there.
So yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people right now on the line, so it'll be interesting.
They're there. They're there. And... But what folks need to do is put down the pundit talk, put down all the news spin and slighted stories that you're going to get. Look at them yourself. Very easy to find their voting information on that. Look at them yourself and draw your own conclusions. Because if you don't, you're going to end up with another version of what we've got today. For example, one of Obama's campaign managers, his first chief of staff, is now aligning himself and Hillary's party. So my mind is, for Democrats, you're going to go for Hillary, you're going to get more of the same what you just got now.
Mm.
So let's take a look at these individually. There's a lot out there to look at, and as time goes on, we'll try to disseminate it a little bit and highlight some of these. But you ultimately need to make the decision, not Andrew, Corinne, or myself, or anybody else in the media you listen to.
No, but from all of us here in the studio, we want to thank you very much for listening today. Tune in tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. We will hit you with some news and some hard questions to ask and all that kind
hard
of stuff.
Hard cider.
That's right. Are we going to have hard cider tomorrow? That'd be nice.
I got something on.
Anyway, tune in tomorrow. But from all of us here in the studio, we'd like to thank our guest as well as all our listeners. And once again, please stay informed. Have a wonderful day.